If you can turn to Luke chapter 4. Today we're going to be talking about the power of Jesus' words. The power of Jesus' words. Let me see if I can get this up on the screen. All right, there we go. The power of Jesus' words. In Luke chapter 4, it says, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As usual, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began saying to them, "Today, as you listen, this scripture has been fulfilled." In this verse, Jesus announced his great mission for all mankind. This was his mission statement. And this would be the guiding light for everything he did while he was on earth. He proclaimed freedom. Freedom from whatever it is that is imprisoning mankind. Recovery of sight for the blind, whether it be physical blindness or spiritual blindness. Whatever form of blindness you have, Jesus can fix it. He came to set the oppressed free. Freedom from whatever it is that's oppressing you. Whatever worldview you have of the world or of yourself that's oppressing you. Jesus came to meet the deepest needs of mankind. Our situations or circumstances may have changed over the course of centuries, but we all have the same needs. We want good news. We want freedom. We want to be released from oppression. But where do you go for your good news? To whom do you turn for your freedom? Whose favor are you seeking? These are the deep needs of mankind. And we go everywhere to meet these needs, but to Jesus. We turn to drugs and sexual sin in the hope that, oh, this will free us from all of our tensions. But those things only end up enslaving us even more. We want favor. We want the approval of our friends. We want them to follow us on Instagram. We want 10,000 followers on Instagram. We want their favor. Like me. Like me. Like me. And then we get so emotionally caught up with who doesn't like you. We get so anxious about all kinds of things and about the opinions of people because we're so desperate for their favor. And instead of seeking God's favor, we end up in this twisted world of emotional roller coaster because we're seeking the favor of people. These are the things we yearn for that Jesus came to meet. And until you turn to Jesus, you will never be free. You will never be released from your prison. You will always be blind. And you will always be oppressed. And one day, it's one thing that's going to oppress you. The next day is something else. In Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus. So in the verses that I just read, he announced his mission strategy. And then shortly after, we see him actually putting that strategy into practice. Okay? He says, this is what I'm here for. This is what I'm going to be doing. And then in verse 18, we see him encountering a man who was demon-possessed. It says he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. They were astonished at his teaching because his message had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean demonic spirit who cried out in a loud voice, "Leave us alone! What do you want to have with us, Jesus Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And throwing him down before them, the demon came out without hurting him at all. Amazement came over them all. And they kept saying to one another, "What is this message? For he commands the unclean spirits with authority and power, and they come out." And news about him began to go out to every place in the vicinity. What an incredible story. You may have read this at different times, but I love the way Luke presents it. You know, Luke is actually a physician. And being a physician, he tended to put a little bit more detail into his stories to sort of bring them life and you know, to sort of give us an idea of what's really going on. And what Luke is doing in this passage is he's giving us insights into the realm of the demonic world. He's giving us insights into the realm of the demonic world. And one thing we got to understand is that the demonic world is real. It is real. Now we may think that that's stuff of hokey pokey stuff, and we may have, you know, the intellectuals, they have other terms for these maladies. We have other definitions and words to use it, but in the eyes of Jesus and spiritual men and women, there is a demonic world that we live in, and it is a powerful world. In order for us to understand the demonic world of the scriptures, we got to reject the false narratives that have been fed to us from scary movies. So when we think about the demonic world, that's what we think about. We think about Chucky. What's the name of the popular one? The zombie movie. What's it called? Freddy Krueger. The Walking Dead. That's what we think about, The Walking Dead. And we just think, oh, you know, they're out there. And what we think is that these, that demons are visible, that we can see them walking. Oh, there's a demon, run! There's Chucky, run! We think that they're visible. We think that we can see them and know them and observe them. But that's not what we see in this passage. This demon is invisible. And he is residing in the man. He is an invisible presence, but he is there. It's important also to note that the demon who's residing in the man, who is in the synagogue, among other men and women in the synagogue who is worshiping, and among his fellow worshipers, they don't even seem to know that there's a demon in this man. We don't know how long the demon was attending synagogue, but I think it's safe to assume that the demon was in the man before that Sabbath, and the Sabbath before, and the Sabbath before. And it just seemed like nobody realized what was going on in this man. It seemed like no one in the synagogue could see that demon or could diagnose that one of their friends had an evil spirit in him. And my point is that we got to reject these false narratives of the demonic world. That it's a Chucky thing, or it's a Walking Dead thing, or if you watch Bird Box, it's some thing that... Because you go around thinking, well, I'm not hearing any in my bedroom, so I must be fine. You got to reject that narrative that you have in your mind about the demonic world. What do we learn about the realm of the demonic world? What was the demon doing? What was he doing? What was his occupation? It says that there was a man possessed by a demon. When a person is possessed by a demon, the demon has complete control over their thoughts or speech or action. That is what it means to be possessed. The man might want to do something good, but he can't do it because he's in a prison. He is possessed by a powerful demonic force that will not let him go. In Luke chapter 8, there's another encounter with a man possessed by a demon. You can look at it on your own time in verse 35. And it says, after Jesus cast the demon out of the man, the scripture says that he was dressed and in his right mind. And if I'm understanding the scriptures correctly, demons exercise possession of a person's mind. Their thoughts, their mental faculties. What must that be like? To have a demon possess your mind. What is that like? You know what that's like? There are thoughts going on in your head that are unrelenting, that they are telling you to do stuff that you know are wrong and you can't get it out of your mind. That is demonic possession, where the demons invade the faculty of the human mind, where you know the Spirit of God is saying to do this and you go, oh no, I can't. And you have some rational reason why you can't do it. And even though a part of you might want to do something
to please the Spirit. There's another part of you that is saying, don't do it because of XYZ. And every single day, you hear that demon talking to you. Does the demon have a purpose or mission? Yes. The singular mission of the demon is to maintain their residency in the human heart. They don't want their lease to expire. They want to occupy whatever space you will give them free of rent. That's what they'll do. The other thing that I think about the demon is that, you see, sometimes we think that there's just one of them. But you notice in this dialogue, the demon says, go away, what do you want with us? Meaning, there's more than one in there. And sometimes we think we got a little puppy demon inside. Oh, it's my little puppy demon, isn't he cute? I got him all under control, nice little Chucky. Baby Chucky. And we think that that demon is not harming. That's just the demon. That's just one of them. They travel in teams. What happened to the demons in the presence of Jesus? It seemed like when that demon saw Jesus, he starts screaming. It says he cried out at the top of his voice. See, in the presence of Jesus, the demons get exposed. In the presence of Jesus, the demons are afraid. They're screaming. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. Get away, get away, get away. Have you ever felt that? When somebody's calling you up saying, hey, let's talk about Jesus, let's talk about the Bible. No! Well, let's get together and let's spend some time. No, no, I can't, I can't, I can't. What are you doing? I'm too busy. What are you doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I'm just maybe watching TV. I mean, demons are petrified at the sound of Jesus, at the presence of Jesus. What happens when Jesus meets the demon? Jesus says, be quiet! You see that exclamation mark in the text? It means that Jesus, the demon is shouting, but Jesus is shouting back. Jesus is not entertaining the thoughts of the demon. He's not going, me destroy, I want to try to help. No, Jesus is like, shut up! Sometimes we like to have conversations with demons and discussions and think that because we have a master's, because we're educated, because we live in the modern world and we have the internet and we can Google our problems away, that we should have dialogue with the demons. Jesus doesn't want any dialogue with the demon. Shut up, Jesus says to him, because you have nothing good to say. Everything that comes from your mouth is a lie and brings only harm and pain. So shut up and be quiet. End of story. What's the next thing that Jesus did to the demon? come out of him. Get out. Get out and get out now. I'm here to evict you. Your lease is up. Pack your bags and go. Demons are like, oh, give me one more week. That's harsh. That's harsh. I need to find another place to stay. Let me just stay here. Get out! You freeloader!
It says the demon threw the man down before all of them and came out. Just like that. And that, my friends, is power. That's power. That is power. Well, what if this man went to a psychologist? That's weeks of appointments to deal with all the inner workings of the man's mind. That's years of filing insurance claims for counseling. That's all kinds of therapy the guy has to go through to get help with what's going on in his mind. But at Jesus' word, the demon comes out. That is power. No doctor has that kind of power. When I go to doctors, they diagnose my problem, give me some medication, but they want me to come back. Come back for a follow-up. And they're doing the best that they can. And I need follow-up. Jesus is like, no, I'm going to deal with this problem right here and right now. Boom. That is power. Do you want some of that power? See, sometimes we think, no, the solution for what's going on in my mind is the medical world. The oppression that I'm going on, that I'm experiencing in my mind and in my heart and in my life, that someone else can help me but Jesus. And I'm telling you, Jesus is here to release us from the prison and to free us from oppression. Has Jesus ever spoken to your inner demons? Have you allowed the word of Jesus to invade your mind and speak to those demons and to say to those demons, pack your bags and get on out of here? You know, imagine the impact on this man's personal life. Imagine. If he were married, imagine him coming back to his wife, telling her, honey, I am free. I am free from my impurities. Imagine how that would have revolutionized his relationship with his wife. This man called Jesus came in, and whatever was inside me is now gone. Imagine the kind of impact it would have on his children. His kids don't know what's going on with daddy, but something's wrong. He's acting strange, and he's alienating us, and he doesn't have time for us, and he's angry and he's upset and we don't know what's going on with daddy. Imagine coming back home to his children freed from this demon, and he now has his mind back to think about his kids and to spend time with them and to be the kind of father that God intended for him, that he is not so immersed in the things that the demons wanted him to be immersed in. His addictions have been conquered. He now has full
control of his mind to think about how he's going to be a good father to his sons, to his children, and a good husband to his wife. Why? Because that demon has been expelled from the mental space. Just, it's incredible when you think about the transformative power that Jesus had on this man's life. What are the inner demons saying to you in your heart? Look, they're there. We live in a demonic world. And they're there, sending powerful messages, telling us turn to sexual pleasure, devote yourself to the making of money. The more things you have, the more success. And you're walking around, people are going to their jobs. One guy died on his job this past week. Working for FedEx at minus 27 degrees. He can't say, I'm coming home. I'm not coming out to work. He's working. Another TSA official in Orlando, while he's on the job, commits suicide, takes his life. What is going on in the minds of these men? What's the message that's being sent to them? These demons tell us, turn to drugs. That's the solution. And now they're legalizing marijuana. Yes! That's what our country is fighting for now. We need more drugs. That's what's going to set us free. Really? Has Jesus ever spoken to your inner demon? Have you ever unleashed the authoritative word of Jesus Christ on the demons lurking in your mind? You know, there are many people, many of us here who've studied the word of God, that the answer to this question is yes. Yes. There are many people here who were addicted to something or another. There are people in our congregation who were addicted to sexual sin, slaves to masturbation and sex outside of the bonds of marriage, and just didn't even know what, how, where, how. Didn't even think it was a problem. Just thought, hey, everybody doing it. And what changed? What changed is when they saw the word of Jesus and they realized this man speaks with authority about my life. And there are many people here who've repented of their sins because Jesus spoke a word. But you know something about the demonic realm is you may cast one demon out, but that guy's coming back. See, he may not find a spot to rent. And he's coming back to the place where he's familiar. And if we're not in the Word, church, if we're not in the Word every day, if we're not feeding and living off of the authoritative Word of Jesus, all you're doing is you're giving those demons a vacant spot to rent again. And they're going to move back in and bring their buddies with them. Has Jesus' words ever invaded your mind and spoken directly to those demons? If the answer is no, if you've never studied the Bible, if you've never had the Word of God so impressed upon your mind that will inspire you to change, if the answer is no, then you got those demons for life, my friend. They're in there for life. And they're getting real comfortable inside of you. In fact, they're planning on doing some renovations to that property. They're going to make it real comfortable. And then they're going to plan on making additions. They're going to expand the space that they want to live in. And then you find yourself going from one crazy, messed up, jacked up thought to another. The Bible says that our lives go from bad to worse. You don't get better on your own. You see, demons multiply. They breed, and they're making more room for others so that they can take greater and greater possession of your mind. And that is the demonic world. But we have an answer for the demonic world. We have a solution for the demonic world. The answer is Jesus. And Jesus said he's come to proclaim good news. He's come to set the prisoners free, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of God's favor. And he has come to give that message publicly, but his greatest work, his most triumphant work, is done privately. And if you're visiting and you want to get to know this Jesus, you talk to somebody and say, hey, help me get to understand Jesus. And while you're setting up that appointment, I'm telling you, the demons are going to say to you, you're really busy this week. You got a lot going on. And this church is kind of scary. They talk about things in this church I ain't never heard them talk about ever. This place is kind of scary. And there's a more comfortable church near you where you don't have to figure out the parking. You can just walk across the street. And the messages are not just so intense. We can do this spiritual thing nice and easy. Nice and easy. Not too radical. Just nice and easy. That's what the demons are going to be telling you. So stay away. Stay away from the practical application of Jesus' words in your life personally. You have to make a choice. If you want to be free, if you want to be released from the oppression, if you want to experience the year of the Lord's favor, turn to Jesus. And let the word of Jesus Christ transform your personal life. God bless you.